Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we just pray you to really just come, Holy Spirit, come, move among us, be our teacher. And Lord, we thank you for your word that teaches us all things. And Lord, please open it up and just give us insight in your work in this world, your work through us, God. Pray you to anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and I pray you to open each heart to receive the Spirit. So we just thank you for your love and give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 14, and we're going to stay in Philippians. So if you have your Bible with you or your device, whatever, if you want to turn there in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to spend the morning there. And the verse says this. The verse says this. Philippians 3:14, and it says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot there. Now, as we've been looking in the Scripture for the last 3 weeks, we've looked at some very insightful, very challenging Christian truths in the book of Philippians. So just really challenging. And I mentioned before that Philippians is interesting in one way, that it's written to the elders, deacons, and the congregation. What that tells you is that it was a well-established church, and they had elders and deacons. You read the rest of the letters that Paul's written, he's trying to get things right and stuff, and he's writing to the congregation. But in Philippians, he has a well-established church. And so what you have there, all the Bible is inspired, and all of it's for edification, encouraging, and strengthening for all of us, you know. But when he writes Philippians, there's an assumption that there's maturity in this body. So he can kind of address some things he hadn't addressed before. He's not correcting them or telling them to do something different. And so he's addressing these people in a little different way to press them on in their walk, even in a greater walk with him. So in the last three messages, kind of the summary was, just to bring us up to where we are now, the summary was is like we had a message on Christ behaving. Christ behaving, meaning Christ behaving, revealing Christ in us, behaving through us, acting out through us. Christ in us, acting out through us. Also, after that, we looked at Christ's mind. And it said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So we looked at Christ's mind. And what we saw, it was encouraging us to have the mind of Christ, to have the attitude of Christ. So you can see he's moving up a level in his communication here. And because he's assuming that these people already have truths. They already have foundational truths. And so he's preaching this, they're sharing this with them. And then the last message we did before this was on citizenship. Spiritual citizenship. The church, as believers, we're citizenships of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, this is how we behave, with Christ's mind and Christ behaving in us. And that's how the citizenship of heaven works here on this earth. That's how mature believers are supposed to interact with one another. Amen? So you see this, and now we come, and you look at these verses, and if you're like me, you look at this, and you go, oh, goodness gracious. That you may feel discouraged, because with Jesus as our standard, we're going, I'm not quite there yet. In fact, you think, gosh, I'm not even out of the starting blocks. I mean, it's just, oh my. And so one can see the truths of this and accept it, but be discouraged because we fall short. We fall short of the calling, there. So God, at this point, encourages us not to be discouraged, but to press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So important. He's saying at this point, don't be discouraged. Press on. We do have the absolute perfect picture of Jesus. That's not to discourage us. That's to have us to focus there and be able to press on. And that's where he's taking us. He's taking us, you know, that we'll have the mind of Christ. He's taking us that we'll be so identified with Christ that Christ will be moving through us and recognizing our citizenship in heaven. So press on, press on. And so we can say, praise Jesus, to press on. Now, so we're going to look this morning at the pressing on, okay? But again, like in Philippians, we have a background, okay? We have a background of the scriptures, of Philippians, and we have this background. And so he's speaking us with the assumption we already know some stuff, all right? We already know some things. So he says, I'm taking that, and I'm going to move you forward. Amen? Okay, this is what this is. It's a moving forward. And we're not going to revisit salvation by faith. Why? Because we already have it. He's just not going to repeat it. He said, you got it. Now move forward. Press on. Press on. See, and so this is where, so he's making a clear distinction here. Clear distinction. Now, so to press on, there's a requirement to press on. For salvation, what's the requirement? Believe on the Lord Jesus. It's it. No, not you just believe. See, believe. That's it. But now he said, press on. There's some, press on to have his mind. Press on to have his attitude. Press on to act in the citizenship of heaven. He's saying, press on. Well, press on requires something of us. You know? Press on requires commitment. It requires commitment to press on. We're saved, the freedom of Christ, we're loving Jesus, all our sins are nailed to the cross, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and focusing on Jesus. I mean, hallelujah, right? And Paul's, yeah, hallelujah. He says, now with that, why don't you press on? Okay, won't you press on? We're in the kingdom, we have citizenship, right? So we're good, we're just loving life. But he goes, since you have citizenship, press on. I want you to take a step. I want you to move forward. And this is how you take the step. And so, like the Apostle Paul, we are not to be lukewarm. We are to be on fire. That's what he's saying to me. Be on fire. I want you guys, you know, be on fire. Don't just be there. Be on fire. And so that's what he tells us. Now, with that, you know, so that's where we're going. Everybody's happy in their salvation, right? Okay, we're good. Now the press on, you know. It's like, where does he want us to go? Now the Apostle Paul tells us what he did. Now he's going to tell us what he did because the Apostle Paul was on fire. Okay, he was on fire. And so he made some decisions to be on fire, and he's going to tell us what that looks like. All right? So we're in the kingdom, all right? Everybody in the kingdom? Is it? Now we're going to press on. So look at the commitment. So we have to be committed to press on. He said, I want all of you. I want you in here 100%. Now here is what the Apostle Paul, his attitude, his commitment. So this is Apostle Paul's commitment. I don't have an overhead here, but you can just go along with me. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. These are the previous verses. Philippians 3, 7 through 9. Paul says, here's my commitment. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. He's saved. He's saved. But he counts all things as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. He goes, that's what I did. Okay, that's what I did. Paul, and so he's telling us this, you know, he's sending this letter. So here's commitment, okay? Here's the commitment that God is asking of believers, okay? We're in the kingdom, you know? We're in the kingdom, you know? I always like to do, you know, bring up people and their kids because, you know, people think they have everything in life figured out. Christianity here, and then God gives them kids. You know, that's the reason he gives you children. I mean, because you don't know half of what you think you know. You know, it's like, because, and then, and I always think it's so funny, and these little darlings act like you. just like you. You know, it's just like your mother. You know, it's like, you just can't get away from it. Anyway, so what we're saying, these are the folks in the kingdom, and he's trying to move forward. It's not getting in the kingdom. We're there. Amen? Okay. Here's the commitment that he's asking of us. Total commitment. It's like, all things are counted as loss. All things are counted as loss. Only Christ matters. Now, Paul is an example of commitment, looks at worldly accomplishments is rubbish. That's what he calls it. Rubbish. By the way, Paul, if you study his life, was an accomplished individual. Okay. And even as he was converted into Christianity, you know, but he's now, it's all rubbish. Christ is all I focus on. He calls it rubbish. Now, we're good with rubbish. But although rubbish is very descriptive, the literal word is even more descriptive. You know what it is? Anybody know what it is? It's dung. I think he just cussed here. I mean, I count all the previous, it's dung. I mean, I don't know about you, that's kind of worse than rubbish. But that's what, no, I count it all as dung for Christ. Now there you have a commitment that he is making. In general, what this life has to offer in comparison to Christ is described as dung. I am going to achieve such and such, okay? You know, climb the hill of dung. You know, and some of you think you're there already. You know, I am climbing this hill of dung. Now, but I'm just driving home the point that you're comparing to gaining Christ and what he said. That's what he's comparing it with. There's no comparison. There's no, if you understand, and he's assuming you understand. He's assuming this group of people understands. Now, Paul counted all his righteousness as dung so that he may gain the righteousness from Christ that comes through faith in Jesus. He's saved. What he's talking about? No, there's no righteousness accreditation that I can receive that's worth anything except what I receive from God. See, that's what he's saying. Nothing. It's only what I receive from God that makes any difference. And so he's saying that here. Now, the reason, now you're going to love this, okay? The reason Paul would make such a commitment and the reason we are encouraged to make such an extreme commitment is stated in the next verse. Don't we? We love context, don't we? So he tells Paul, why would you do that? Paul, why would you ask me to do that? I'm just happy hanging out being saved, you know? He goes, no, I'm asking something of you. And I counted everything as dung so I could receive what the Lord has for me. And it's in verse 10, Philippians 3:10. This is the reason. This is his sole reason. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was his goal. That's it. His motivation, his walk through life was that he may know Christ. Know Christ. You know, anyway, that can be intimate, like almost like a marriage relationship, you know, almost like a sexual relationship. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I just want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. See, it's like, oh, but that's a lot of commitment. Everything else is done so I can know him and the power of his resurrection. See, Paul's total commitment was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. This represents the active presence of the glorious power of God. So here on this earth, as he's going in, he's doing lots of stuff. I want to know Jesus. I know what he's saying. I want to know what he's doing. I want to know his power. And so that was his encompassing motivation. Amen? And for that, he was making that commitment, total commitment. And for that, when he looked at the comparison, he said, there's no comparison. Jesus or dung. I mean, that's what he was saying. You know, it's like, oh gosh, that is kind of big commitment. You know, that's a big commitment. All right. So, are y'all with me? Right here, what he's saying? And I want you to kind of be with me on know him and the power of resurrection. That's good, right? Everybody nod. That's good to know him and good to know the power of his resurrection. Amen. Okay. Because I'm going to read the rest of the verse. I just want you to buy in on the first part of it, you know, before I read the rest of it to you. You ready? Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Oh, Lord. Now, Jesus, I was doing good with you in the resurrection. But the fellowship of your sufferings and sharing that word, it means fellowship. So it's, you know, churches are known a church term. It's fellowship. Let's get together and fellowship. You know, we'll have a fellowship hall. We'll have a fellowship dinner. It's a close interaction of believers. Fellowship. Right? Why did he use that word here? Let's have this close, intimate interaction with your sufferings. I'd rather have dinner. You know, maybe just kind of have a cup of coffee. But no, he said, no, you, to know, I'm counting, I'll just put it half, I'm counting all my accomplishments as dung, so I may know the fellowship of your sufferings. I mean, I can kind of get motivated with the power of the resurrection. I'm not really motivated by the power of his sufferings. See? Now, so you look at this and say, well, Paul, you count all your accomplishments as dung. You may know the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Now that's just a bunch of commitment. Bunch of commitment. Amen? Well, so what we have here, to share Christ's suffering means that we have complete identification with him that can only be explained is the death of our former life. Y'all hear that? We are so identified with him that it's like a death to our former life. It's like we're so consumed with following him and the relationship that we moved out of our earthly affections and move into our Christ-like affections. See? And, you know, it's funny. Let me just continue. The theological union with Christ. Okay, we can kind of get in the ivory tower. The theological union with Christ must be experientially demonstrated by commitment. It's almost like, I don't care what you know. I want to know what you're doing. I don't care what you know. I want to know. This is the better word. I don't care what you know. I want to know who you love. I mean, that's what he's saying. Who do you love? Who do you love? I'm just going to show you the depths of this. And the reason I'm hesitating to share it, because it's very, very, very personal, and I shared with it. But I'm going to tell you, like, who do you love? But you understand that. It's not what you know. It's who you love. You know. I was in this church. If you don't know, our daughter, who we just idolized at the age of 35, just quit communicating. Can't get in touch with the grandkids or anything. And so it's been about 10 years. As you can imagine, it's been absolutely devastating. Almost, you know, you didn't think you were going to survive it. You're just not going to survive it. You know, and there's no pain you can touch. You know, it's just so painful. You see? I came in this church, and I was walking around. It was midnight, and I'm walking around, and I'm just praying and hollering. I didn't get mad at God, but I'm just, what are you doing, man? You know, I'm just praying and hollering. God, how can you let me go through something like this? And you don't tell me nothing. You don't speak to me. You don't show me anything. What are you doing? I don't understand that. I've committed myself to you. Talk to me. Talk to me. Say something to me. And he spoke. It's one of the few times, and it was like audible. Except it wasn't, but it was so clear it felt audible. You know what I mean? So I said, tell me, speak to me. And he did. He goes, who do you love? Count it as loss. Who do you love? Who do you love? Now, I say that as hesitant as personally as it is, because sometimes, well, we'll give up. Yes, whatever, you know. I'll give up, you know, steak. For a week or something, you know. You know, he said, it's something deeper when you come to this point, and it's so deep, and it's like overwhelming, and it's like, well, this is what you need to do, fast, pray. He said, no, who do you love? That's the issue. And you have a choice. I'm not even going to say amen, because I ain't saying nothing on that one. But you see what I'm saying? So this is what he's talking about. This is what he is talking about right here. We just kind of have this fluffy, you know, thing. Oh, we'll serve Christ and he'll provide and we'll just go skipping through the tulip field, you know. He's like, no, I'm asking a commitment. And when you make that commitment, I'm going to ask for another one. And I'm going to ask for another one. And I'm going to ask for another one. Because you need to have a good concept of who I am and how much I love you. Amen? That's what I said. So you see this, you go, oh, and may the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. There's no one could ever talk to imagine how I felt except Jesus in his fellowship that he felt the same pain I did. See, it's the fellowship of his sufferings. And what are you going to do with it? So this process of pressing on, by the way, you're at a point, if you're in this situation, you can imagine, where you just quit. What's the use? Nothing's working. You quit. So no, press on. Who do you love? Press on. The process of pressing on is intended to bring the believer into an ever-increasing, listen to this word, experiential conformity to Christ. I'm conformed to Christ. It's an experiential forming to Christ that hurts. That hurts, see? And that he says, that's when you hold on and that's all you have. And he says, and then I'm going to conform you into my image. Who do you love? So, therefore, we will learn to exhibit a separation from the old life and a continual walking in the power of our new life in Christ. Because the new life in Christ is humming. We're committing. And that relationship is moving us in a certain direction. And we've been called to know that. And now, the next verse. Now, I took this verse. It's Philippians 3:11. I took it out of the Amplified Bible. And the reason I did, because the Amplified Bible amplifies the words, so you can get the full meaning. And I think it does a wonderful job right here. So when you see this, you know, the power of the resurrection, you know, the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him into death, so identified with him, your former life, it's just like death. And why you do this? It's to know Christ. The reason, not just hurt, the reason is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection in the body right now. Right now. It's experiential. Oh, I want to experience Christ. All right. Oh, you're going to love this. You know, All right, you know. So look what Philippians 3. So you can experience Christ in the power of resurrection while in the body. Look at Philippians 3:11, Amplified Bible. And this is the reason Paul does it. That by any means possible, I may attain the power of the resurrection from the dead, even while in my body. Why did Paul count everything as loss to gain Christ? Why did he count everything as dung to gain Christ? That by any means possible, he may attain the power of the resurrection from the dead, even while in the body. And the Apostle Paul turned the world upside down for Christ. He did. He paid for it. Now, and so you're going, okay. So what we have here was such a glorious gold, we're told, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Press on and continue to grow in our Christian life. Look at the next verse, the Apostle Paul. We can relate to this. The Apostle Paul, this is what he says, the next verse now. You've got to take all this in to go with it. Okay, here's the next verse. Not that I have already obtained this. Now, I want to share something with you. Paul goes, not that I already attained this. Where are you? Have you passed Paul? No, you're going, if he ain't attained it, I'm not even close to attaining it. Oh, my word. Paul just said he hadn't attained it. See? But he's moving it. He understands it. So, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. I press on. What do you do? And God says, who do you love? You. Then press on. Make it your own. You see it? That's how that works. This is a mature church. It's a mature church. Press on. I press on to make it my own. Now look there. Because, now these, I've told you before, these prepositions and what have you are important. Because is important. Why am I going to press on? Because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Because Christ Jesus has already made me his own. Now you press on to make him your own. Experientially, we're saved. We're saved. But he's taken us up to a level that turns the world upside down by Christ working through us. Christ working through us. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I'm already his. I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. He made me his own. He said, now you press on because what I've done for you, press on. And I'm not going to ask you any more than what I did. Great. So you look at this. Oh my goodness. Because Jesus has already made us his own through the cross. Through the cross, he's already made us his own. Right? Now he's saying, press on. See, because he's done the heavy lifting. He's done the heavy lifting. All right. He's already made us his own through the cross, and we are encouraged to press on to experience Christ in the power of his resurrection. You want to experience me? Press on. And it says in Scripture, a lot of people quit. A lot of Christians quit. Can't do it. Saved, in the kingdom, forever, eternity, glory with God. But certain people like Paul had pressed on. Pressed on. I'm happy and rejoice at every reward the Apostle Paul would receive in heaven. But all of us who accept Christ, will be in the kingdom. Be in the kingdom. Press on. Now, so this goes on to say in verses 13 and 14, now we come to the verse we started with this morning, and it says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." Now you hear what he's saying. He's telling us stuff that he is moving into himself. He just happens to be like, 100 yards in front of us. See? But he's pressing on. He says, "Now you continue to press on." So he says, I haven't achieved it. Brothers, do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do. Oh, gosh. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Wallace, you can stay in your misery and everybody will understand. But you need to forget it and move on, straining ahead. Press on, straining forward to what lies ahead. Because something lies ahead and the mighty God is working with what lies ahead. Your peace in it is to press on. Press on. So he strains forward to what lies ahead. He goes, "I press on." Our verse. "I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's why he does it. And if we fully grasp that, then that's why we do it. Because we know what he did for us. We know what he has for us. And we press on. Because we know that. And anything compared to Christ is dumb. Dumb. See? And so there you have that verse. Now here we go. And this is important. Key to understanding this section. This section is the reality of our resurrection was completed at the cross. All God's people said, the reality of the resurrection was completed at the cross. For the mature, who's he writing to in the Philippians? Elders, deacons, established church, you've been humming along. For the mature, experiencing the power of the resurrection now is an ongoing process. When does he stop teaching us? What would you do if I said this? I'm scared to say it. But what would you do if I said this? I studied this morning, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Wallace, you have arrived." You would all laugh. See, you're just like you're now laughing. Why is it, Wallace, you ain't there. Well, see, that's what he's saying here. This is the thing he's in. It's like, no, the resurrection is complete at the cross. But for the mature, experiencing the power of the resurrection is an ongoing process. You never get there. Never come to fulfillment here on earth. See? See, we're all in the same, we're all in the same boat. Now, as we struggle to grasp the depth of this truth, we have a powerful, powerful verse here on press on. On press on. Now, I'm going to read this verse too. To me, this is me personal, what I think. I think these two verses are unusual. I mean, as I read scripture, I just think, I don't know. I take them as, I don't think, say what they say is unusual. I just take them as being in scripture. For me personally, they're kind of unusual. But now, this is how he wraps all this up. Okay, you have this. You know, I hope you have this, because he's just like, ask for everything you have and possess and who you are to your very core. I mean, he couldn't ask for more. I mean, so that's where we are. It's like, I want you to buy it. Commitment. Well, to Rich, even though he sent that picture for you to look on. We're talking about Nick Saban, and I was thinking, watching Alabama, and he have all these great teams. He got the kids together. He says, "You're good. You're good. If you buy, you accepted the cross, you're in the kingdom. You're good." He said, "But if you want to be great, buy in." So in heaven, you want to be good, you want to be great. Buy in. It buy in requires commitment. And And you have the option of quitting, stopping. You have that option. You may think, well, no. Yes, you do. Just look around you. You're as old as I am, and you see a bunch of believers that have quit. Quit. In the kingdom? Absolutely. But they're done here. They're done here. So here's the verse. Press on. We all got this together. Now listen to what he says to us. We all have the same information, all right? Listen to what he says. The next verse. Let those who are mature think this way. Process it. Somebody, I ain't doing that. That's crazy. I'm not doing that. Well, that's fine. Let those who mature think this way. Some are not going to think this way. They're asking too much. But something I understand. I want to buy in. The mature, he said, I want it. I want it. I want everything you have. And this was, let those who are mature think this way. So the ones who are mature think this way. I mean, that's what it says. I'm convicted. I don't know if you are. Let those who are mature think this way. Meaning, there's going to be a bunch of Christians who will not think this way. Because he's asking for everything. Everything. Right here. Then he goes on and says this. All right? And by the way, one of the things I enjoy about teaching the scripture, someone said, well, I don't agree with that. I said, that's super. Read it. Do whatever you want to. I mean, I'm off the hook. I just present it. You read it. You do what I tell you. That's up between you and God. I'm just giving my shot at it, okay? So, let those who are mature think this way. And if in anything else you think otherwise, so he's covering everybody. The mature, if you think this way, and those, if you think anything otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. God, I don't get it. Now, see, this is a different group. You know, I fall in this group. I don't get it. Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, that's okay. Just keep pressing on, and I will reveal it. Now, this verse is important, because who's going to reveal it? I want y'all to tell me, who's going to reveal it to you? Why didn't you say Wallace Mitchell and all his glorious preaching? Because only God reveals it to you. See, so you keep pressing on, and if you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. Stay in the Word, keep walking, keep pressing on, and God will reveal it to you. God will reveal it to you. Only, therefore, only let us be true to what we already attained. As you see the process here, only be true to what you already attained. I don't get this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. Well, you know something. And you know something. If you accept Christ as your Savior, you know something. So stand on what you know. All I know, I'm safe. That's a good place. Stand on it, but then press on. And you learn something, stand on it. You press on, you learn something, stand on it. He reveals something to you, you move on, you stand on it. You stand on what you already know. You share somebody. Don't put something out there. They don't have what talking about. Share where they are. They can get through, and they believe it, and then they stand on it. And then they can move forward and they stand on. You see what I'm saying? In this, now it's all in this, these two verses. To me, that's fascinating. So what you have here, the mature think this way. Anything we don't understand, ask God. He will reveal it to us. He'll reveal the truth to us. However, as God is teaching us, we must stand strong in what we already know. Press on. There it is. There, these are great how-to verses. All I know is that I'm saved. Good, stand on it. Stand on it. Press on. Ask God. He'll show you anything. Press on. Step. What you attain, stand on it. I don't know what's going to happen. Ask God. Ask God. He should take that step. And I know, then stand on it. And God will reveal whatever else you need to know. God will reveal whatever else you need to know. Fascinating. So here we have, press on. And he's telling us the whole deal. We got the whole ball of wax here. We can say, press on. As we press on, we come to experientially know Christ fully and understand his fully resurrection power even now in our earthly bodies. We experientially understand and act out God's power in our earthly bodies. But there's a commitment to that. There's a commitment to that. Experientially. Now, the Apostle Paul had this down. Everybody agrees, we're good with Apostle Paul. Okay? Then he says how he did it. He's going to give us a verse. We're going to go to Galatians. And he tells you how he did it, and he tells you what it looks like. You want to look at this? He tells you what it looks like. Yeah. Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul experientially knew Christ and his power. Would anybody in here disagree with that? The Apostle Paul experientially knew Christ and his resurrection power. Experientially knew it. And he says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. We just read that. It's just like suffer, have the fellowship of his suffering even into death. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's the same message throughout the whole scripture, if you read the whole thing. Amen. And the Lord asks a lot. Nick Saban. He's just like, not God, but anyway. You guys are good. That's why you're here. I mean, that's in heaven. You know, I paid the penalty. That's why you're here. You know, he look at sins are forgiven. You're washed clean. The cross. You've got everything you need now. But do you want to be great? That's what he's saying. Do you want to be great? Then buy in to what I'm telling you. That's what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul says, I'm telling you how to be great. Now, somebody said, well, you shouldn't be great. You don't look at each other. But you're kind of limited to the human language, all right? And you're limited to me. That makes it even worse. But the point of it is, he is telling you to take that step. Take that step farther to know Christ, to experientially know Christ, to experientially know his resurrection power. And he's telling us how to do it. And it takes us to press on. Amen? How did we become a Christian? I believe. No works, which is the hallelujah. We're here. Amen? He goes, well, press on. Wallace, who do you love? You got a choice. Quit or press on. I would like a little more information and a little more compassion myself, you know. You see what I'm saying? This is the truth for growth. This is the truth for growth. And he's told us here. I encourage you to read Philippians and then ask God to reveal to you of anything in any area you don't think this way about. And he'll reveal it to you. Just stand strong on what he's told you. He's told everybody something. Just stand strong on what you know. Amen? Hallelujah. So it be. So, we can then, so it's easy to summarize. Hold on to what you have and press on. And then God says, I'm going to show you stuff. What you don't know, I'll show you. And it, you know, this is a Wallaceism, so I got to be careful. There's a little bit, this is Wallace versus the scripture. Okay, big difference. But there's a little bit of here, it's like, if you don't press on, I'm not going to show you nothing. Now, it's me. Well, God doesn't work. Well, he just works that with me. Okay. I'm just standing here. I ain't doing nothing. Okay. You're in heaven. You know? Yeah. A lot of people, Hope it goes sooner than later. But anyway, you're in the kingdom, all right? But this, I want you to press on. And I can't give you anything until you press on. Now, give you something. Anyway, that's how it works with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Oh my gosh, Lord, and we are so excited about being cleansed with the blood, forgiven for all eternity by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are so thankful. We can't believe that you picked us, that you touched us, and that we are in your kingdom. Lord, to spend eternity with you is more than we can ever imagine. And then, Lord, I pray in this honored position as your children that you would open up to us, that we could be mature in our walk and experientially know you and receive your power, Lord. And we ask that, Lord, and help us to stand on what we know and press on. And you reveal to us all that you have. And then we understand the reason. The answer to the world and all its darkness is Jesus Christ and the church. Because we press on. We thank you, God. Amen and amen.